Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take the poll that's up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I ask a real simple yes-no question. Today's question for the week is, will the California primary be important in determining who the GOP presidential candidate is for 2012? And your answers are yes, it will be important, or no, it will already be decided by then. Go up to my site, brainstormingonline.com, cast your vote. You can see your results immediately after you cast your vote. I'll announce the overall results on Thursday's show. You'll find the poll up on my website, brainstorming, that's S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business success. Each of my guests is describing their path to success and will offer lessons we can learn. My next guest is a business philosopher who will explain how taking responsibility changes everything from his book titled Stepping Up. And if you want to ask questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. John Izzo is one of North America's most prominent voices on finding more purpose in life and in work. He's devoted the past 25 years of his life and his career to facilitating deeper conversations about values, work life, leadership, and success. He has worked with thousands of leaders, professionals, and frontline colleagues to foster workplaces of excellence, purpose, learning, and renewal. Drawing on his early work in the ministry and thousands of programs on creating spirited workplaces, John challenges people to thrive, to live their values, connect with each other, and humbly balance achievement with fulfillment. John's the author of several books, including the best-selling book, Awakening Corporate Soul, The Five Secrets You Must Discover Before You Die, and his latest book, Stepping Up, How Taking Responsibility Changes Everything. He served on the faculties of the University of California at San Diego and Kent State University. Joining us on the show today. Hi, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I hope. Terrific, as a matter of fact. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming, because you are a thought leader in this area of success. And I want to just talk about your book. Let's begin with the beginning. This is a good place to start. Your book starts out with an airplane metaphor. You call it the five rows of responsibility. So let's start there. How do five rows of responsibility demonstrate faulty thinking that some people may have about success?
Well, you know, one of the key premises of my book, Stepping Up, it's a very simple idea. And that is that if you spend your life, worrying about what someone else is going to do, you're going to be miserable and less successful. If you focus on what you can do instead, you're going to be powerful and more successful. So, for example, every time you find yourself saying, someone else should do something to help me in my career. Someone should do something about morale at work. Someone, my spouse should change so I have a better marriage, whatever it is. You're going to be miserable and less successful. And in the book, I even share research that shows that, number one, over the last 40 years, we've become more and more victim in our thinking, meaning more focused on other people and other things influencing our destiny. And that the more we're focusing on ourselves and what we can control, the happier, healthier, and more successful we'll be in our careers.
Wow. I mean, that's a mouthful. There's a lot in that. My guest is John Izzo. So let's talk about making some of these changes, or stepping up, as you call it in the title of your book. It really requires a different mindset. You get away from that victim mindset that you were just talking about. So explain the shift in thinking where you go to why not me from why me. How is that important?
Yeah, well, you know, really interesting. I know we're talking about work today, and I've worked with so many companies over the years. And a survey was done all around the world just about a month ago now, asking people what were their biggest pet peeves about their colleagues at work. And the number one pet peeve was people who don't take responsibility and spend their life blaming others. And in the book, I talk about a concept I call 100% responsibility with zero excuses. Which is, first of all, the workplace rewards people who step up and take responsibility. They say, give me the ball, that is my job, rather than it's not my job. Hey, the other department may not have made the deadline, but look, let me tell you what I'm doing to try to make us successful anyway. I talk in the book about, for example, why not me to speak up and challenge things at work? And, one of the myths in the workplace is that, people who are yes people get ahead, but I show some pretty powerful research in the book that, in fact, people who speak up and challenge things, but not in a blaming, finger-pointing way, but who come with solutions, can make a difference. So one of the ways it's why not me is why not me to bring ideas to challenge things, but in a thoughtful way, so I'm not seen as a complainer, but seen as a solution person.
My guest is John Izzo, author of the book Stepping Up, How Taking Responsibility Changes Everything. And John, let me challenge you a little bit if I can, please. That last statement was filled with a lot of good stuff, but many people listening to the sound of our voice right now are at work, and you know this environment, a lot of folks are hunkered down at work because they're just thankful to have a job. Some people in corporate America feel that either they're unable to make a difference or they can't make a difference. If they speak up, they're going to be shown the door. And that they really believe that one person can't really change anything. So talk to me about that, because that is just faulty thinking according to your book. And how do you get over that kind of thinking?
Yeah, a couple of things. First, I think that the worst thing you can do during a downturn is have your boss and the people above you go, you know, I hardly even noticed John was around, you know. So hunkering down is actually a bad prescription during a downturn, if anything. It's a time to demonstrate value. Let me give you a real example I share in the book, which happened there in Southern California. It's the story behind the Starbucks Frappuccino, which, you know, was actually the brainchild of two frontline people and a store manager in Santa Monica, California, who saw a local competitor offering a cold dessert coffee drink and basically went to Starbucks, to their manager, and said, look, this is a great idea. We should do it. It wound up getting floated all the way up to the senior team in Seattle, who on a 7-1 vote said, no, we're in the hot coffee business. We don't want to do this drink. Well, to make a long story short, they basically, you know, were like a little dog on a bone. They kept calling their manager, look, we've made a mistake. We need to do this. They finally started experimenting with the drink, even though the senior team had said no. They wound up doing $1 million of business that first summer. By the time they went back to the senior team, they said, look, fire us if you want to, but, you know, we've got a winner here. And the interesting end of that story is the manager who fought for it and kind of broke the rules is now the head of marketing for Starbucks internationally. And so my point is, now, you won't always have a $1 billion idea like those people did in Santa Monica, but I think it's a good example. They weren't blamers. They weren't finger pointers. They just kept saying, look, we've got a good idea here. And I think that if you're a leader listening to this, one of the questions is, how do you deal with people who come up with ideas and play outside the lines? And if you're an employee, think about this. This is not an atypical story. Yes, there are occasionally people who speak up and challenge things and finger point. Trust me, they're not respected. But if you come with solutions and ideas and you have the company's interest in mind, you will wind up getting rewarded for it in most cases. So I'd say the worst thing you can do in a downturn is nobody even notices you're there.
My guest is John Izzo. I mean, that's a very powerful story. I think it shows very dramatically how one person really does matter and can make a difference. But in your book, you really point out the key question to ask is, what can I do to make things better? Why is that so pivotal, both in business and in life, to constantly ask that question?
Well, you know, one of my favorite examples in the book that illustrates why it matters is a group of employees in a company of 500 people who were concerned about work-life balance. I'm guessing there's somebody listening today who's in a company where that's an issue. You know, it's like water from a fire hose. You know, you're drowning all the time. And, you know, most people in the company of 500 people were sitting around saying, you know, the boss, somebody should do something about this. And then two frontline people just said, you know, why don't we start meeting once a week for 15 minutes and saying, what could we do to help get a little more work-life balance around here? And the first thing they agreed to is we won't email each other on weekends or nights. The second thing they agreed to is we won't schedule meetings after regular office hours, you know, unless we absolutely have to. And within about 3 months, they had 50 people meeting with them once a week for 15 minutes. What could we do to keep the company successful but get some work-life balance at the same time? Within a year, the company had adopted most of the things this impromptu group had come up with. You know, another simple story in the book, a hospital in Iowa where the morale was in the dump and service was lousy. A group of frontline housekeepers and nurses just started meeting once a week saying, what could we do to turn morale around? Said to the CEO, do you mind if we start meeting on our own and see what we can do? They helped transform the hospital. So I think what happens is when we stop worrying about what someone who's not in the room needs to do, we suddenly claim our power, whether it's work-life balance or morale. And again, do we get rewarded for that? You bet we do.
Oh, that's good to know. My guest is John Izzo, author of the book Stepping Up, How Taking Responsibility Changes Everything. And one of the key concepts in your book that it's hard for some business people to grasp is that leadership is not a position. What do you mean by that?
Well, the interesting thing is many people say, when they give me a position of leadership, I'm really going to show the value that I have. But in fact, leadership is not a position. It's a posture. It's a decision that you want to influence. And we're all influencing and leading whether we want to or not. So in the book Stepping Up, I say, look, just by the way you show up every day, you're leading. You're having influence over others. And so, first of all, punch above your weight. That's what the Starbucks folks did in Santa Monica. They said, look, our job is not to create new products, but we're going to punch above our weight and suggest new products and ideas. And they got rewarded for it. Those people at the hospital in Sioux City punched above their weight. They said, look, we're just housekeepers and nurses, but, you know, we want to do something about morale. So the first thing is understand that leadership is a posture. It's a choice. And in the book, I talk about two high school students who punched above their weight when they confronted a bully and who had bullied some kids for wearing a pink shirt. And, you know, they said, look, let's all wear pink shirts. And 90% of the school showed up the next day in pink. Now there are pink shirt days in 21 countries all over the world because two high school students punched above their weight. They said, look, we're not the heads of the anti-bullying committee or the president of the school class. We're just going to step up and lead. So I think part of it is deciding to be a leader, whether you've got the position for it or not.
All right, deciding to be a leader is one part of it, but don't you have to have a certain amount of naivete to say, hey, I can really affect change in this? The fact the people that are most steeped in the company tradition or the expected value of whatever they're doing, those are the ones that find it hardest to change. Why is it good to be naive? Why is it good to look at things with a fresh set of eyes?
Yeah, you know, in the book, one of my favorite chapters in Stepping Up is only naive people ever change the world. And one of the things, as I interviewed all these people who had created change in business and in communities, ordinary people, you know, one of the things I noticed was a tremendous sort of streak of naivete, the willingness to believe they could change things. So whether it was those folks at Starbucks who said, look, we think we got a winner for the whole company, you know, or the kids who said, you know, well, you think if we confront these bullies, we can stop them. There's a kind of naivete, a willingness to believe you can change things. And when we surveyed people, why don't you step up? The number one reason was, you know, I'm only one person. I won't make any difference. And I think the one way to be more naive is to remember two important concepts that are in the book. One is what I call aggregate influence, which is one reason we don't step up is we forget my stepping up may seem insignificant, but if many, many people decide to step up as well, the aggregate can have a huge impact. And what I call the responsibility ripple, which is that when one person steps up, whether it's to stop complaining at work or to do something about work-life balance or to stop bullying, others also tend to step up in response to our actions. So we're actually much more powerful than we think, but it requires a kind of naivete to be willing to say, look, I think I have the right and the power to step up and take the first act that will create a ripple to others.
My guest is John Izzo, author of the book Stepping Up, How Taking Responsibility Changes Everything. And really, one of the pivotal messages of your book is this 100% responsibility, 0% excuses. You talked about that before just a moment ago. But elaborate on that and talk to us about how if one person adopts this 100% responsibility, 0% excuses, that is the pebble dropping into the pond that starts the responsibility ripple that you write about.
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing I think about 100% responsibility is 100% responsibility for yourself and your success. I talk in the book, for example, about how, you know, I'm not naturally a good networker, which is not good if you're an entrepreneur, you know, and then I can give you all kinds of excuses. You know, my parents weren't good networkers, had acne in high school, you know, all these things are true. But as I tell people all the time, you know, zero excuses is, you know, that, you know, many excuses may be true, but they're never useful. So it's useful. It's not useful to blame anything except myself for me not being a good networker. And so the moment I say I'm going to take responsibility for that, something changes. And in the workplace, the moment, for example, someone says, look, it's not just the boss's job to deal with work-life balance. It's also mine. It's not just the boss's job to raise morale or come up with new products. It's also mine. What it does is it creates a ripple of responsibility. When one person says it is my job, look, let's not talk about the people who are not in the room and what they need to do. Let's talk about what we can do. And that, by the way, is the most empowering shift. Whenever you find yourself saying someone else should, turn it around and say, I wonder what I can do about this. Whenever you hear someone else at work saying, you know, somebody should, meaning someone who's not in the room, turn it around and say, that's great, someone should, but what could we do? What could you do? And that's, I think, the beginning of 100% responsibility, is whenever you hear yourself saying that or someone else saying it, you turn it around and say, I wonder what can I do or what can we do? And, you know, one thing about a book like Stepping Up, How Taking Responsibility Can Change Everything, is I think people imagine a wagging parental finger saying, you know, you need to be more responsible. And I see it as quite the opposite. The moment we ask what I can do instead of what someone who's not in the room can do, suddenly we have power and we don't feel like victims. So 100% responsibility is also very empowering rather than some parental wagging finger at you.
I agree. My guest is John Izzo. John, and I like that. I thought that that was one of the two concepts that I took away from the book. But the other one, equally important, because you have to change the way in which you think. You mentioned earlier you're not a good networker. I mean, that is, I am not statement. I am not a good networker. I'm not a good salesperson. I'm not this. To get out of that victim thinking, you just had a very simple turn of phrase that helped me in the way I look at things. Instead of saying, I'm not a good networker, I'm not a good salesperson, turn it around and say, with effort, I can be more successful in sales. I can be more successful in networking. Talk to me about how that simple change of phrase really alters the brain chemistry and gets you moving in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, in the book, I share some fascinating research by a woman out of Stanford, Carol Dweck, who talked about a concept she called mindset, which is that when we have a fixed mindset about ourselves, meaning we think we have a fixed set of skills and talents, you know, so as you said, we say, I'm not a good networker, I'm not assertive, I'm not a good salesperson, I'm not romantic, that actually this tends to be a real impediment to us developing. And in her research, people who have a more flexible mindset, who say, no, I don't have a fixed set of skills. It's not that I'm not a people person. It's just that I haven't put the effort into being a people person or being a good networker or salesperson. And I use the example in the book of Shaq, you know, who you know, great Southern Californian, you know, who could never do free throws, and even though he practiced again and again. But the interesting thing is, if you look at interviews, Shaq had a mindset about himself, I'm just not good at free throws. And so I think we can apply this to so many realms of our life. The first thing is to confront this idea that we have a fixed set of talents, because my research that I share in the book shows that the opposite is true. Almost any talent can be developed with hard work. So we have to really watch this mindset that we get about ourselves. So fill in the blank for yourself. I'm not a what. I'm not X. And then say, no, with effort, I can turn this around. And this research really shows how important this mindset is as an impediment to us even working to change ourselves.
It was one of the critical lessons that I took away. My guest is John Izzo, author of the book, Stepping Up, How Taking Responsibility Changes Everything. John, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, Stepping Up?
Well, the first thing is that, we're more powerful than we think we are. And if people doubt that, go to our website, steppingupforchange.com. That's just steppingupforchange.com, and see the videos of people, ordinary people, who turn things around. The second thing is that, the moment you find yourself focusing on what anyone else should do, whether it's to fix your career, fix your life, fix your marriage, fix your business, besides yourself, you're going to be in a place of victim thinking. So always turn it around. Instead of saying someone else should, ask yourself, what can I do about this? And then the third thing is to remember that, yes, people do not get ahead at work, that people who are what I call constructive irritants, not blaming and finger-pointing, but who say, it is my job, here's my ideas, here's what I think I can do to help fix this thing at work, this is the way you get ahead and get successful. So I think those three things are the powerful messages of the book. And then I think if people read the book, they'll really get some of the more, if you will, subtle things and actions they can take. But to me, those are the three powerful takeaways.
My guest has been John Izzo. John, if people are intrigued by what you have to say and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Yeah, well, if they want to know more about me, just go to drjohnizzo.com. That's just drjohnizzo.com. Or again, steppingupforchange.com has stuff about the book and about me, just steppingupforchange.com.
That is great. John, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thank you, and keep up your good work of inspiring people to be more successful.
Thank you, John.